Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Cheers!
Cheers!
Yay! Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Liza.
And I'm Olivia.
And welcome to 51 First Dates, the podcast where we talk about Olivia's dates now and, you know, dating in general and love and non-love, because I like to try to make it a cute, quippy thing like the other podcast, but I can't.
Yeah, and I sit here not contributing, so that's our shtick.
All it would really take was like a quick little writing exercise where we write up two lines, but
you know, I just feel like people don't come to us for production.
You keep the people guessing.
That's good.
Yeah.
You just never know what the intro's going to be.
Everyone skips it anyway, so it's good if it's something new.
That's good.
There we go.
If it's the same thing, you skip.
Next week, we're going to tell our deepest, darkest secrets in the intro.
Exactly. We're going to talk about the things we're feeling most vulnerable about. No, probably not. So anyway, as you've heard, we're joined again by Olivia, our lovely new dater.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
Yet again. We hope it's, you know, been not the most annoying to come have to talk about your dates.
It's been not very stressful. This is what I'm doing with all of my friends all the time. So
amazing.
Perfect. Just extending it.
I feel like you've been here on the two hottest days and we have to turn the air conditioning off to record. And it's literally like the last time it was 90 and fucking humid, you were also here. So I feel like you're just going to associate recording with us with just like discomfort and sweatiness.
Yeah.
So far.
Great. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. We're dripping hanging a little bit out from our earlier, you know, time in the heat.
Non-air condition. But yeah, we're going to talk about a date that Olivia went on. Date number two.
We'll call it date number two, even though I know.
It's, you know, a little bit out of order, yeah, because, you know, she's been dating for a while. If you caught our episode a couple weeks ago, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other random things.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some fun, different, I don't know, things that have come up in the secret Facebook group, some listener questions, and yeah.
And, we're going to do our new fake categories treatment where we ask Olivia a bunch of questions in categories. Like, I mentioned this a couple on our first episode with Olivia about this podcast called The Rewatchables that does these categories about the movies they rewatch, and we wrote some up, and then we're going to do them, and then you're going to tell us cuter names for the categories because,
Wow, perfect.
It's going to be great.
We're going to try. Yeah. And then hopefully going forward, it'll be seamless, and you can be like, kind of like the, you know, we rank a date location by dicks, which came organically out of, you know, our super intelligent minds that really were thinking hard. Five dicks being the best. I don't know where we got that. But I think we'll come up with some new categories so every time we can have, like, rankings for dates.
Good. We'll get some metrics going.
Yeah,
metrics. We'll start metrics, analyzing
metrics,
things.
Metrics.
KPIs. We got to get some KPIs in here.
Yeah. I don't know
what gets
that
measured
means.
Gets managed. And so
we're going to manage. Performance indicator.
Oh, God. You know.
This is really a nightmare. We're a nightmare.
I did know what that meant. And I should have remembered. But I didn't because I barely am a human.
Untrue. It means you're in an interesting, exciting job.
Potentially. And we're thinking about KPIs. No, it's not. I'm thinking a lot about codecs, which I promise are less exciting. Oh. So
we don't. I don't know what that is.
It's a type of file export when you make videos. God, guys, I told you it's not
the
exciting.
More you know.
It is a businesswoman podcast. This is what you are part of now.
But blah blah blah. I feel like, I'm blowing up Kimmy's spot, but Kimmy has an exciting story to tell.
I've been waiting all week.
I feel like this is our news and weather segment, so give us the news and the weather.
News and weather. Well, let me just tell you who I saw on the New York streets, actually the New York Underground, the 4-5 at Grand Central Station. I had a Bachelorette franchise sighting.
Who was it?
Tyler.
Very hot Tyler. So loud.
It was like, oh my God, pretty unbelievable. I just listened to like a recap of Juliet Littman's Bachelor Party podcast. Wow, The Ringer should sponsor us.
Yeah.
Because, hello.
They owe us 25 cents or something.
25 cents or something.
At least 30.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. But I was listening. I had just finished listening to a podcast where he was talked about a lot. Then I was like looking at his Instagram because I had listened to it. And then this dude just kind of darts by me and I'm waiting for the 6 and it's taking some time, and he was going to the 4-5. So for those of you not in New York, same platform, but like different sides of the train track. And he just I was so short. He did not even look at me. Definitely, you know, that was one thing. Didn't take one inch of attention towards my way. But he was so hot. I can't even make words right now as I'm talking about it. He was so tall. Black t-shirt, jeans, baseball hat. Oh my God. I'm nervous. Ugh. And he just was like looking to see where the 4-5 was. And then like kept going. And I was like, double take times 10 to make sure. And it was like, fuck, that was Tyler. And then I texted Liza immediately. And Sarah, I was like, guys. I texted actually a bunch of people.
Well, I guess that's what everyone needs to know.
Excuse me.
Everyone needs to board the 4-5 and find out.
We were also like we had been talking about The Bachelorette like 5 minutes before you saw him. Like it was one of those, like on this same text thread, like we were talking about it. And then like 10 minutes later, you were like, guys, I just saw Tyler. Like, it was like a fucking crazy Beetlejuice situation.
Yeah, it was like, and it was like definitely a Tuesday. Yeah, it was right. He was hot, man. Yeah, wow. That's all.
How tall do you think he is? I'm sure we can find this out on the internet, but.
So, man, 6'3 or 6'4?
Wow.
Oof. Maybe, I think I'm bad at heights at a certain place. I'm just like super tall. It wasn't aggressive where you're like, that human's insanely tall, but he was definitely, it wasn't like he felt at all shorter than what I'd expect in real life.
Got it.
Okay. I don't know.
Did he have a friendly disposition?
Yeah, he just seemed to be doing his thing. I mean, yeah, for those of you who don't watch the show, and actually it's an interesting season to watch, and we've talked about it too much, but this is our 5 minutes. Tyler's like wildly hot. He looks like James Dean. Like, it is not normal. Just Google him and then you'll kind of see. And
it's also like his the best whole one. Vibe. I was showing, okay, so I have a coworker who has never watched any episode of the franchise, but I was talking about it a little bit today. And this coworker was like, he didn't know anything. He was like, oh, so the current, I was like, oh, and we want him to be the Bachelor. And he didn't know that the next Bachelor comes from this crop of contestants or what. Like, he didn't know anything about it. So I was explaining how it works. And he was like, what do the guys look like? And I was like, let me just show you. Sit down. And I Google image search all of them. And when Tyler came up, he was like, that's the most attractive man that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And it's also like, it doesn't even come across in a still photo. It's his vibe.
Yeah.
He's got like
a weird,
it's a vibe. Dumb sense of humor. It's like, he's like, ugh.
His weird like accent. I don't know.
I know the accent is like, it seems like a sort of made up accent, but I really like it.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm like, yeah, part of me is, why are you, you know all the right things to say, but then also you're doing like, he's supporting a charity. Like, he knows how many people love him.
For
sure. But that's okay. If he's doing it, like promoting good things, like charities and, you know.
Swoon. Yeah. This episode will come out after next week when we'll probably know a little bit more. We're in a tricky situation because Olivia hasn't watched the most, whatever. But we don't know. At this point, two of us know what happened after Fantasy Suites and one of us don't. And it's, so anything could be happening by the time this episode comes out.
And then if you're listening to this, the following week is the finale, and either Liza and I or me and Sarah, a friend of the pod, we're going to do some sort of Instagram stories around Bachelor finale. Like, whether we go live, I'm not funny enough to go live.
I'll be fully on an airplane during the finale, which
I forgot
my soul.
I'm so sorry. Cancel your trip.
But it's on JetBlue, and I'm like, oh, I really hope they have cable. You know how so once in a while they have cable? Yeah. I literally am just like, either that or I'm going to land in New York at midnight, and it's all being in California time. I'll just have to stay up till 3 in the morning watching it and then go to work the next day.
That's what you have to do.
A psychopath.
I mean, this season is bringing up a lot of issues around toxic men, like lots of the issues that have always existed, but they're rising to the surface, and I want to fucking do something. I want to just have weird reactions
to that.
It's so good.
Yeah. And I think some of you might be listening and thinking, I don't watch The Bachelorette. Why are they talking about this? And my response to you is, it's time to watch The Bachelorette.
Yeah, join the franchise. You will not regret this.
I feel like this was me. This was me not too long ago, but now it feels like longer ago. And then I fully just bought in and understand it. We've talked about it. We've gone over our 5 minutes. But check out the end. It just, even to make fun of it, and then you'll be like, ooh.
That's the whole thing. I was rereading, there's an incredible book that I've probably talked about on the podcast before, but it's called You'll Grow Out of It by a comedian I love named Jessie Klein. She was the head writer on Amy Schumer, on Inside Amy Schumer, and she's now a producer on Transparent and on Big Mouth, and like every show that's good, Jessie Klein works on, and she's just not famous. She's just like an incredibly funny behind the scenes human. But she wrote a book called You'll Grow Out of It. It's just a bunch of chapters of like her experience growing up and like into adulthood growing up, and it's hilarious. But she writes about The Bachelor and why it like entices all of these like smart, college educated, like together women, and I just would really recommend it to everyone.
But anyway, however, I'm sorry. That's
that was exciting.
Never apologize for Bachelor talk.
My one, okay, then I was on a very crowded 6 train, so I almost followed him onto the other train, the express train, but I got on the 6 train, it was very crowded, and I saw a very cool Meet in the Wild situation. So I just want to share it, even though I don't know these people and I don't know if they ever went on a date. But it was the most crowded New York subway train where, honestly, the guy who was one half of this Meet in the Wild, he was new to New York and his backpack was all up on me, like pushing me into where you're all pushing. But like in a way where you're like, dude, that backpack is too big. But I was annoyed and sweating. But then heard him start strike up a conversation probably with a girl he was also bumping into, but like forward facing. They're both very attractive people, and she and him struck up conversation. We're on the train at my stop. I was getting off in Soho, Spring Street. I was getting off. She was also, and she was like, well, let me know if you need anything. Like, she was telling him where to go in the city. Oh. Let me know if you need anything. And he was like, yeah, sure, I will do. What's your name? And they exchanged names. And then she was like, well, then take my number. And it was amazing. And I got off, and I was like, I gotta get off. I didn't even know if she was gonna make it. So I just was like, respect. She was amazing. She just was like, well, then you need to take my number, because they were clearly flirting. Like, and he was like, yeah, I definitely will reach out. And it's like, how can you reach out without my number? Like, she was just like, cool, here's my number. Wow. And I respected it. And if anyone knows about this story or knows, you know, there were young people, maybe someone, I just want to know what happened.
Oh my God.
Wow. It's like, it was so simple, but just hearing it out loud, I was like, fuck yeah. I've been in that position and not been bold enough to be like, well, then take my number. Like, waiting for the guy or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was in that position 20 minutes ago on the walk here, and I was thinking about meeting men in the wild.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Also, backpack related. So, weirdly.
Guys, are you single? Get a backpack.
Think about backpacks more. So, I'm going on a trip next week, and I needed a big backpack to pack in. So I was at like Paragon Sports, and I was looking at all these backpacks, and I was sort of like going into like analysis paralysis, like looking at every single travel backpack in the whole entire store. I'm getting kind of overwhelmed at them, and I was like, you know, fully had like 18 backpacks on the ground. I'm unzipping everything. I'm like getting into this decision, and this guy comes over and he starts like asking one of the like salespeople about which backpack he should need. And so then we're both just sort of like equally tearing down like zillions of backpacks in Paragon Sports. We're like surrounded by travel backpacks. And this guy's so cute. And I'm like looking at him, and I was like, well, he's like traveling, so I kind of like, that's cool. He's like cute. He's in New York. I'm like, okay, you need to. And one of my goals recently has been to try to get better at like talking to strangers and meeting people in public. So I was like, okay, you gotta just talk. And so I like made some comment to him about one of the backpacks he was trying. I gave him like a weird tip about like the backpack.
I know.
And so we started like chit-chatting about why you're getting the backpacks, like how one would pick the right travel backpack, like the benefits of, you know, different kinds of straps. And then it comes out that he was like, well, what's your trip that you're going on? And I told him about it, and I was like, what's yours? And he was like, well, I just quit my job and I'm going to be traveling around the world for like the next 6 months or something. Fuck. I was like, shit. I had immediately concocted this like whole like our marriage and like wedding speeches.
100%. Being,
like, and they met when they were looking for backpacks.
I mean, that is like a rom-com meet cute.
I know.
Fully of like, we're here, we're buying backpacks. Now we're going to, you know.
And then we could have brought them on our honeymoon.
Totally. Yeah. Travel the world together.
Sweet. Oh, God damn. Yeah.
Well, I know.
Reality.
It's reality. I was thinking I should start like bringing like business cards around with like my face, my phone number, and just like ask me on a date and just give those people quickly.
Yeah.
And we'll do it.
Hey.
Cool. Yeah.
It's a weird thing that like when we were a long time ago, actors, trying to be actors, you like would make postcards of your face, your headshot to send to agents. Oh. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Brutal. I know it honestly sounds more brutal. I don't even know if I ever sent them, but there was a moment I was convinced I had to order my headshot on a postcard.
I just horrifying. Threw away mine a couple years ago where I was like, horrifying. I threw away a bunch of headshots and postcards and I was like, someone is gonna like be sorting the recycling and be like, okay, here's 65 photos and 120 postcards of the same photo of a human woman. And
like, she loves herself.
Psychotic.
And, like, if you and I are doing that now, like, I did that when I moved. Like, people in New York must be doing that all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, just lots of tried to be actors here.
I'm going to do that. I'm just going to use a flyer system to maintain.
It's like, now I'm like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, I wish there was an app for actors, like, swiping. Because so much of it came down to, like, do you look the part at the beginning before they know you? And I don't know. I kind of, like, no, I think I'm onto a bad idea of sending out your postcard.
Well, it's also a thing in some, like, a couple of cultures that, like, still practice arranged marriages, like modern day in America, arranged marriages. There is a thing of, like, a postcard with some stats about yourself on the back that, like, moms will pass around. And it seems crazy, but I truly believe that, like, there are certain things about, you know, forever love that are just random. And, you know, I have, like, friends who have life experience in this, and they think, like, it's as much of a dice roll as anyone else's dating, relationship, and marriage.
No, I feel like Aziz Ansari's book went into the modern romance, modern love. And
totally.
Problematic or not, whatever. I thought that book was very interesting. And honestly, arranged marriages tend to last longer.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different podcast. But, okay. Oh, that was the end. Oh, yeah. So you guys just were like, bye.
That was the end. I said bye. Good luck on your trip. I love you.
What I hope is you open up the backpack you bought tonight, and he somehow slipped his number in there and just said, travel the world with me.
Oh, my God. Come with me. Quit your job.
Exactly.
Travel the world together.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's the next. That's our new podcast.
There we go.
And then every city.
Olivia and Backpack Man on the road.
Yeah.
Falling in love.
Next time, I'll be more bold, and I will take that woman's advice from the subway.
Yeah.
That sounds like a cool move.
But you were bold even by starting it. I could just tell she was, like, being friendly. Like, I just, yeah, it was, and then it was just, like, the timing of the subway he was getting off. Yeah. Oh, who was getting off? Her? I don't remember even now. No, it was her. She was like, this is my stop, but, and I just, the timing. I was like, oh, it was very wrong-com. Like, she has to get off at her stop.
Really quick.
I know a girl who met her husband on the subway platform.
What? Really?
And I only know the story from Facebook, so it feels weird and creepy to retell. It's a girl I went to college with. We were acquaintances, like, you know, didn't keep in touch after college, but she posted a couple times. Like, when they got married, she posted, like, or when they got engaged, she posted this story of, like,
did they get engaged in the subway?
I don't remember, but that would be cute.
Married on a moving subway.
Like, that would be adorable.
Married on the 6th
train. Like, she wrote a thing of, like, I never thought when I met this guy on the subway platform, but she told the story of, like, they were on the subway platform, the subway was super delayed, and they just kind of, like, struck up a conversation.
Wow.
And then, like, exchanged numbers and blah, blah, blah.
Jesus.
I was like, that's a real in the wild. Yeah, you don't think. Wow. I would just be like, don't talk to me. You're definitely trying to follow me home. Mm-hmm. Like, blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Yeah, I'd have a podcast in. I'd be scrolling Instagram. I would have no engagement.
Yeah that's like, true. Like, headphones on, eyes down. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me.
And that is where that thing of, like, when people ask, well, is online dating hurting meeting in the wild? That's an example of, like, maybe just being online in general is, because we're, like, always doing something else and looking at our phones and... Not to be your resident grandma, but, you know, if I didn't have a phone, I might be more likely to engage in conversation.
I'd be bored enough to talk to strangers.
Yeah. At bars, too, like, on the occasion, like, I'm not a huge go to a bar or restaurant alone and hang out person. Like, I know some people love that. I love doing certain things alone. I love going to the movies alone. I like going to see plays alone. Like, I like whatever. But when I'm at a bar or a restaurant, sometimes waiting for someone or sometimes getting a drink or, like, dinner alone, I'm, like, phone out, eyes on it. Like, that's what I'm doing, and I don't want to interact.
I get that.
But it's like, that's, you know, even though I'm not out there, like, trying to meet someone romantically, I do like talking to people. Like, I'm not like, yeah.
I heard somebody, maybe it was you guys on this podcast, or maybe it was somewhere else, but somebody said that their friend was doing this thing. She was similarly trying to do a better job at, like, meeting people in the wild. And so she said, okay, whenever I'm meeting a friend out for dinner or drinks or something, I'm going to make a point to get to the bar 15 minutes early and just sit at the bar by myself and not look at my phone and just say, like, okay, maybe that's a 15-minute time period in my life where I will force myself to talk to people. And even if you don't, like, meet the love of your life at the bar, it's just, like, good practice.
nervous in talking to strangers.
Yeah, totally.
So
kind of like that.
Even talking to the bartender, like when you have your phone out, there's less like interaction with the bartender. And I always really like when I strike up a conversation with the bartender or like the server. Like it's nice to just like have a pleasant interaction with someone that's not. Whatever.
And even other like patrons at the bar. Yeah. Sometimes when I do enjoy going to a bar and sitting and eating alone, though I've never done it in LA and I have a weird feeling about it. Like, I don't know, I can't get there. But in New York it feels very like I can do this, or at least in my old neighborhood. And if you can meet someone who's not romantic, who just like who's like someone will be like, it's my birthday, but I'm traveling, and you're like, bullshit, it's your birthday and we're friends now because we you know, I don't know. That's a specific experience that just popped in my mind, but Yeah.
It's a good practice for us all to put our phone away as I take out my phone.
As we take out our phones.
To write down a thought that I had about a question I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, we love having our phones out.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. This is all very good and important, but let's talk about Olivia's date.
That's perfect.
The news and the weather section is over.
It's date time. Okay.
Amazing.
Sure.
So tell us, do you have a taxi cab confession?
Ooh, I do. Let's see if I can find it.
Okay, amazing.
Hello, reporting a new TCC. So I just got back from a second date with the guy from Sunday. So kind of quick second date. We went to acro yoga, which was crazy. I sent you some pictures so you can understand fully how insane acro yoga is. So it's like partner group poses, like if you're in Cirque du Soleil, basically. So he invites me to go to this class. I was like, okay, thinking it would be just normal yoga, but maybe like you do more handstands or something. Turns out it's like an open level class, so every single other person in this yoga class had been doing acro yoga for at least like 6 years, and they literally like come in and immediately start doing professional grade handstands as like their warm up. And I was like, holy shit, like what have I gotten myself into? Okay, part two. So keep in mind, me and this guy, we have, you know, had a little peck on our first date. We have not really, like, touched each other at all, whatever. So we go in this class, and the poses are the most physically intimate things. It was literally things like, okay, now the female will really grab his thighs, sink your fingers into the flesh of his thighs, and now present your hips to him so he can lift them up. It was like full frontal, my crotch in his face, vice versa. It was so funny to like do all these poses with basically a stranger. So that was an hour and a half of this class. And then at the end, they made every person get in groups of four, and you would lay down on the ground, and the group of three other people would massage your entire body. So I guess we basically had like a foursome orgy on our second date. Overall, weird, weird date, but fun.
Oh my god.
I think I'm quite literally uncomfortable. Like, you know, just thinking about myself going by myself, I would be uncomfortable. Like, not even the date factor.
Yeah.
This was a lot. Like, well, you know, we're coming in hot.
Yeah.
You're up. I also had polled Instagram on, like, what they might want you to go on dates to do. And
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can't wait to hear.
Oh my god. Okay. So wait, really briefly tell us like, or not really briefly, but tell us like how you like met him, initial conversations, and like brief overview of the first date.
Yeah. Okay. So this is technically
a second date.
I would not recommend for a first or a second, frankly. So okay.
Or like 10,000. I would still be
I'm ever gonna go.
Yeah. I'm afraid.
So this guy was somebody from Hinge. We met, and it was one of these people that I think we had like one conversation that happened relatively quickly, and then it was like, great, do you want to go on a date on, you know, Sunday night or something? He lived in Brooklyn. He was from the West Coast originally, and he was sort of like in the healthcare world. And so we had gone on a first date, which was like a really fun first date. We got apps somewhere like on the Lower East Side, and then like walked around and like got pizza at the end of the date. So it was like a very fun first date, really normal, you know, fun guy. And so I was like, great, this will be good. We'll go on a second date. And
Then,
yeah, wait, now I'm like, wait, what?
No, that's like, why did it get so weird?
And I don't know, it wasn't like I talked about loving yoga or acrobatics or anything on the first date, but somehow in between, like, we went on this date on a Sunday night, and then on, like, Tuesday, we were texting again to think about, like, setting up a date for the next week, and then all of a sudden, he was like, well, what are you doing Thursday night at, like, 8:30 p.m.? I'm like, nothing, I guess. Yeah. Like, sleeping, maybe? And he was like, okay, well, do you want to go to an acro yoga class? And I was like, sure, why not? Like, I was free and...
Respect.
And I didn't really Google it, though. That was the problem. Like, I didn't quite remember what acro yoga was.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I actually know right now.
Have you looked at pictures? I highly recommend. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
We should, like, put them on the Facebook group. Because you need the visual of how like, close quarters you are to this other person in acro yoga. Oh, my gosh.
First of all, like, where was the studio? I want to know what the studio was.
It was a Dumbo.
Okay. So but, I haven't been there. Not that I would have.
Yeah. But, like, so you've done acro yoga lots
No, I haven't.
You're like, oh, that's not my studio.
No, but I was like, what if it's, because I've gone to weird aerial yoga classes with the hammocks and shit where I feel like, you know.
Different. Okay.
It's different. Yeah. I'm just very afraid of that.
This is like, maybe a way to picture it is, like, if you think about, it's a very Instagram thing. Maybe in LA you've seen it a lot, like on the boardwalks. It's like, if you see really hot couples often will be doing yoga poses where it's like, the man is sort of like on his back putting his legs up and the woman is like doing a handstand on his feet. Like,
yes.
And then another woman is like doing a plank on her toes. Like, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That was actually very helpful because I do feel like I've seen that in public in LA. Yes. It's like the dirty dancing pose, but on someone's feet, not on like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it is exactly like that. And I think I didn't know the class. I thought it would be all beginners, but that was not the case at all. Every single other person in the class was really experienced. Mm-hmm. And so they were super good at it. And it wasn't like you really got taught how to do any particular pose. It was just this group. It was so funny. It was just like one of the two instructors would just sort of like be like, all right, like gather around. And we'd all kind of go in a circle. They would do this insane pose. And then they'd be like, all right, do it. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know how. And the poses would be crazy hard stuff. Like, I mean, like, the opening pose was, if you can picture, like, me and my date, like, partnered right up. And so the pose is, like, he was, like, laying on his back. And he put his knees up at, like, a 90-degree angle. Put his hands up, right up above his head, his face. And then I was on all fours above him. With my hands on his knees and his hands on my knees.
So, like, 69ing, but not that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't think there was something worse than 69ing. Now I've found it.
Oh, my God.
It was public. It was crazy.
Okay. Here's my question. So he suggested this? This is like a thing he has been wanting to do? Or does he do this regularly? What's his history with acro yoga?
That's a good question. Good question. He had been one time.
Okay.
So we knew what we were getting into.
Yeah.
To be fair, I really did not.
But like maybe he just was like, she's hot. Yeah, it's
almost creepy. He was like, I don't know.
One time.
I know. And nothing about this read as creepy because it was like, these poses, while very physically intimate, were also, like, the least attractive a person could ever look also. But it was just, like, if you picture us in this, like, weird 69ing pose, and then they'd be like, all right, now move your arms and legs. So he'd be, like, moving his arms and legs in sort of, like, walking formation, and I would have to be coordinating, and then they'd be like, now open. And he'd be like, open his arms and legs, and I would have to do that, too. Okay. It was all so much. And, like... And that was like a tame, easy pose compared to every single thing we did for the rest of this hour and a half class.
How did you manage the crazy poses? Are you, but you're athletic and you can do it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, like, I could do it, but not super well. Well, that was the other thing is, like, it was really hard. Yeah. Like, it's really hard to hold, like, a 200-pound man above your head.
Like, oh, my God.
Because, like, most of the times so it would be, like, he would be, like, holding me up. And, like, you know, he'd be struggling to hold another human being above his head. And then I felt like in the name of equality, I had to be like, okay, I'll hold you up now. And so I...
trying to like hold this man above my head, which is like really hard to do. And the problem was, if you dropped him, he would like crack his head open.
Oh my God.
So you couldn't even be like joking around about it. It was like I had to be really serious about it, yeah, otherwise I would hurt him.
Yeah. So what was the conversation, if there was any, between the two of you in the class?
Really minimal.
Okay.
It was strictly, it was also a very small class. It was like seven people total.
Okay.
So we really couldn't, and this was clearly these people's like main hobby. Like they were all going to some like acro yoga festival in Montreal the next weekend.
Oh my God.
So you can picture like these people do acro yoga with one another every Thursday night. And then like I went on a date to their class. So
interesting.
Really weird.
Were you like the whole time you were there, were you like, get me the fuck out of here? What was your internal monologue during this class?
No, I was having fun. Like, okay. Because I do like the concept of acro yoga. Like, the thought is a funny thing to me. But the whole thing, I was like, what the hell? Like, why am I on a date? Why am I doing this with a stranger? Like, I was like, I was worried this is a really, really weird date and weird story. But I couldn't, like, let myself start laughing about it or anything because it felt like kind of disrespectful.
Yeah. You're like in the sanctuary.
Right. So I was like, okay, I have to be taking this seriously. But it also was like, I mean, the poses, I mean, like, you guys heard in this recording, but like the cues that they would give you.
Oh, yeah.
Like they would just be like, this pose is called the butt sniffer. Really get into it. And I'd be like, oh, and like they weren't saying it in like a sexual way, but that was just like how to think about where to be putting your body so like the pose would work.
The butt sniffer though. Oh, I mean, God. Downward dog, you know, right. Blah, blah. What's the most outrageous yoga pose? I don't know. But come on.
Yeah, it was
the
a lot.
Butt sniffer.
Oh my God.
I'm uncomfortable.
I was like, we need to rebrand.
I'm already, even in regular yoga classes when the teachers are like getting too into like, stretching you out or whatever, and their faces are too close to me. I'm like, don't be near me. I'm like sweating and in yoga and whatever. It's just like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Hilarious.
We were close. And it was in like the funniest ways. It was like, now this man is a stranger to me. And you know, the poses were like, I have now like touched the bottoms of the soles of his feet and like put my face below his inner thighs. Like this like really weird sort of like engagement with a stranger that was like more intimate in a lot of ways than like you would be if you were like normally dating somebody.
Soles of feet just really hit me to my core.
I don't want to touch anyone's feet. I don't want anyone touching mine. No shame if you're into feet. It's not because of that. I just personally think they're stinky and my feet are stinky. Wow. Okay.
But no, I just like, it took me like touching a sole of a foot. Like it's taken me.
Like I have done a shoulder stand on the soles of this man's feet.
Oh my God.
That's so hard.
Not to brag.
That is, oh my God. Jesus Christ. I would not be invited on this date.
Like
I can barely do a shoulder stand in life.
I can't do a shoulder stand.
What's a shoulder? Oh no.
But you probably could. Someone had to support you. Like the third person in your group would have supported you. It was crazy.
God. Yeah. Okay. So the date ends. The class is over. Yeah. You walk out onto the street. What happens?
Yeah. So this is a little weird. So I didn't want to be too like, that was crazy. Like we just went to an orgy. Like I didn't want to totally make him feel weird about it.
Yeah.
So I was just like, wow, that was different. Like I tried to kind of like take his cue for what it was like because I did like it a lot, but it was also objectively really exceptionally strange.
Yeah.
So we sort of like did some debriefing walking to the subway and then it was like, all right, we're in a brightly lit subway again and we're going our separate ways. So it was another like weird subway kiss and then it was like, okay, bye. And like we didn't super acknowledge like how weirdly physical we had just been for like an hour and a half with all these strangers. And then we just parted ways into the night.
So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What was your read on him on your first date in terms of like, were you going on a second date because you were like, hey, nothing weird? Like, which I often feel is like, it's like if there's nothing weird or red flaggy, like I'll go on a second date. Or were you like highly attracted, wanted to go, and then there, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely really liked him after the first date.
Okay.
Like, he was fun, it was a good date, it was, like, a good chemistry date. And that was, I think that was true, too, on the second date, but, like, and I think had we done any other sort of, like, activity, honestly, it would have been a really good date. But just, like, this acro yoga thing was so weird. And you can't talk to each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, is that, like, you couldn't really be chit-chatting at all.
So
really, and that you didn't like go, I guess it's like probably late to like get a drink. Well, you get a drink, yeah, but it feels like after yoga, you have to go to coffee get or matcha juice, yeah. or right. like juice, yeah. yeah. But that's all closed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was tough to like, I don't know, move forward after that.
So then what was the communication after? Like, did you guys text?
Yeah, no. So then we had talked about like making another date, and then kind of in between that happening and like setting up another date, we were talking on the phone at one point, and then he I know, which is, he was like a phone guy, not like a big texter. Okay, which was surprising.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
So he's like a phone guy, and he was like, oh, and I think I mentioned this to you on our first date. But basically, you told me that, like, he's doing some thing for his job where, like, every month for the next 6 months, he's, like, going to be living in a different state, which is, like, you know, Miami and LA and San Francisco, like, all of these faraway places. And at that point, I was, like, I'm not, like, into him enough to be, like, signing up for this relationship that will turn into who knows where he's living and then, like, moving somewhere else.
It's not like you had – sorry, I'm jumping in and giving you your own – feelings and but like also you had two dates right. It's and one was physical communication only, not the kind you're thinking if you're just tuning into this right this minute, the yoga kind. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so I will say I'm like the biggest fan of activity dates and not just doing two drink dates in a row. Since then, I did what I think is the perfect activity date, actually. I did a rock climbing date recently.
Ooh.
Yes, which is everything that should have been really, really good about acro yoga, but plus actually being able to, like, talk to each other and, like, give each other advice and not have a teacher telling you what to do. Cannot recommend that enough. Like, that was really, really fun. In a way that acro yoga did not lend itself to be.
That's cool. And I feel like rock climbing is kind of inherently... I mean, you have to be... in teams of two. Mm-hmm. Like, you need a person to belay and a person climbing, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, so I feel like that's kind of inherently a good, like, two-person activity, and it's then fun, and there's enough time on the ground and enough time to talk, and you can chat to each other and whatever.
I have my phone in my hand because I was bringing up some of the fun first dates because rock climbing triggered this that people recommended.
Ooh, okay.
So carnival / boardwalk, possible.
Ooh, that's a good idea. You can play some games. You can walk around, hang out.
Go to Coney Island.
Yeah.
I like that.
But wait.
I think I would do Coney Island date with like somebody I had established that I liked enough to take a long subway ride.
Wait a second. Sorry. These are the responses to when I asked people what their last date was. So someone did that date. Okay, cool. Sorry. Because I just realized, what? Tacos? That's not that wild. But I have the other ones. People said Target, obviously.
I will do that.
Yeah. People said Target. Someone said grocery store. Theme park. Game arcade. So these are in the axe throwing or karaoke. What's geocaching?
I know what that is. I've done it before. This would be cool. I think not a New York thing. Geocaching or caching, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of this website where you basically say, like, I'm in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And then you can say, I'm going to be, like, near some coordinates. And they'll say, okay, at these exact coordinates, there's, like, a treasure box
hidden. I have heard of this.
And then you go on, like, a treasure hunt, basically. And, like, I think the idea is you bring little treasures and then you take whatever treasures are in the treasure box and you put new treasures in. It's kind of, like, a cool...
No, that's cool. That, yeah, that's, yeah, that is
that'd
cool.
be a cool date. As long as you feel confident, you're not going to get murdered by the person.
And or you're doing it in public places,
right?
Are there some in New York? Probably, I hope.
Maybe. Whatever. I've only done them in like mountainous ranges, but maybe in New York.
Psychic reading, another wild one.
Ooh.
And then open mic night, that is the scariest of them all.
Oh, I would literally never do that. I'm so sorry.
I have been doing stand-up. I mean,
but even if it's like singing open mic or poetry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've like done, stand-up mics.
But like, is it a thing where they're saying you go sit and watch one together? Because I can tell you that is no goddamn fun. I've done open mics where there are couples in the audience who are there on a date, and it's horrible for them.
Oh, no, this was supposed to be, like, wild ideas.
Great.
So, like, this is an Instagram poll I put. Yeah. Okay. I was just thinking, because I've been doing some experiential research, escape the rooms. I wouldn't want to.
You can see what kind of problems over there.
I need to comb through them. I thought I screenshotted more of the replies. Yeah. That was only one page, but I'll find them in my...
Okay.
In my... deep text, but let's do our categories.
Let's do them. Okay. Ooh. So okay. Kimmy mostly wrote these.
That's not going to look good for my sense of creativity.
No, not at all. And then I tried to, whatever. We worked on these together, and here's the thing. Kimmy wrote some really cute names for some of them. I did not contribute and write cute names for the other ones. But if you have, okay, as we're going through these categories, if you have cute name ideas, please email them to us or put them in the secret Facebook group.
Literally did not workshop them. Would love it to be kind of like an easy thing where it's like, I was trying to riff on rom-coms. It didn't go so well. You know, haven't been creative of late. But tell us if you have ideas. Like,
yeah, what tell that us part cute of name ideas, and also tell us other categories or other questions you're interested in. But this is our first inaugural spin of the categories.
I'm nervous. So,
yeah, you want to kick it off?
Sure. Am I right on this one? Is Andy Anderson from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Of course.
Okay, so Andy Anderson detective work. How much Googling did you do?
Zero.
Okay, perfect.
I'm not a Googler.
Oh, yeah. You're not a Googler at all. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, post-date, I would Google. I would not Google.
Fair.
I think that's a good move.
I like, again. Because
then you let the first impression be the first impression.
Yes. I think, and I would love to do, like, you know, we'll touch on, like, a topic that came up in the secret Facebook group about kind of, like, pre-date communication later this episode. But I like that. I think we're all on the same page of, like, for us, for our vibes, we don't like a super ton of communication or knowledge before the date.
True. Totally. I wouldn't Google. I wouldn't social media stalk.
Yeah. Smart.
How would you rank his text communication skills on a scale from 1 to 10?
Ooh. So his texting...
Or maybe just communication skills. Yeah. Because you said he's not a phone guy.
Yeah. Right. Or he was a phone guy, not a text guy.
Sorry. He's not a text guy. He's a phone guy.
I would say his texting tone was a little weird, honestly. So that would be like a 4. But he would often be like... I think he just didn't like doing logistics coordination over the phone, which I get and I appreciate. So he'd be like, hey, can I just call you like later tonight? And then would just call me, which I appreciated. Sometimes he would just call me like with no warning, which kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
Which feels like very immature to like not be able to receive a phone call like an adult, but whatever.
I get it.
So I get it. In like 2019 dating, I don't think that's immature. It's almost like, I wish we could all be there, but I don't think we are. And that would throw me off.
Yeah,
for sure. Outfit choice. You don't have to go into
especially
deep detail.
For acro yoga. Did you have to pick out like your?
I drew my cutest little yoga outfit.
Yeah, I have one pair of cute yoga. I'm like a half now.
I have
because
like
one
two...
pair got holes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have one like set, which I feel like is the most basic thing I own. It's like not a set. Yeah,
I had I owned a set at the time, I would have 1,000% worn a set.
Fuck it, you gotta get on that
set. You gotta
set.
Wear a set. Yeah, you gotta bring the set to public. I think it's hard for men to like wear cute workout stuff. I guess he was wearing like slouchy sweatpants and a t-shirt. It was fine. Yeah. It wasn't like, but I think, I don't know. I really like men who have like cute joggers.
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
is not that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Fair. But I'm glad he wasn't just like, I'm shirtless. Like, that's also good.
That would have been...
I don't know what I was picturing. Yeah.
Super weird.
Yeah, that would have been really weird.
You're holding him off his naked torso. Okay, so, sorry. I forgot to mention, that was our pre-date checklist.
Okay, that was the pre-date. Okay, so we should have
probably asked that. Now we're doing an on-date checklist. Okay, here's the other thing, guys. We're going to post, like, a screenshot or something of this in the secret Facebook group, so it's easier for you guys
you
to weigh in on the categories.
Yes. You can.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, so date venue, how many dicks?
I mean, this is not for acro yoga. Okay, here's what I'll say. For the particular point in the relationship that I was at with this man, which is to say we did not have a relationship, 0. I would not recommend as a date. Yeah. However, I think if you were at a point when you had clearly established that you like somebody, they liked you, maybe you'd been more like intimate with them already, and you were kind of like both really into it, then it would be super fun, I think.
That's
and kind
a
of a cool thing, provided you're both into like a little bit weird activities that you're not going to be very good at.
Totally.
Then I would say fun activity. Yeah.
You know what I'm realizing? This sounds like a date they would send Bachelor and Bachelorette people
on.
Yes.
God.
Doesn't it?
Totally.
It sounds 100%. Totally like they're always sending people on that show into situations where they're going to be super like out of their comfort zone and whatever. And
they
this
did
is...
Naked Bungee.
Let's start like a hipster Naked Bungee company in Brooklyn. That's what they do.
Honestly,
it would probably do well.
Would play.
Yeah.
We just need to find the height first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the next category or question, whatever. Lust at first sight. Yes or no?
He was really cute. Yeah, I was attracted to him pretty early on.
Okay.
Oh, this is really poorly named. We wanted to do kind of a version of the Bechdel test of like. I called it the Rinzoli-Foskett test.
The Rosket.
This is going to take off.
The Rosket. The Rosket. Did your date, it's just one question. Did your date ask you at least one question about yourself? Maybe think back to the first date for this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's like such a baseline, but like, and we should, that's an editable category. Like we should have three qualities.
Did he ask you,
one thing about yourself? Did it, we'll figure it out. You'll tell us.
For sure.
Thank you for doing our jobs.
Oh, I didn't do this correctly because I didn't put the accent, but my, this is a horrible idea. This is Rose and Thorn instead of Rose and Thorn. You could do this in elementary school, Rose and Thorn, the high and the low, whatever, but this is Rose and Thorn. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
But we said Rose and the millennials, but, you know, like,
we're betches and...
One day we'll be sponsored by Rose.
But what was, like, the high and low point of this date?
Of acro yoga? Let's see. Pun intended. High and low.
Oh, yes. That was good.
Let's see.
I think maybe the low point, I cannot tell you how just unsexy it is to have, like, this man trying to hold your entire body weight up above his head, and he's, like, clearly, like, shaking sweating, like, going to drop me, and I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, okay, I'll just, like, get down. He's, like, turning red. He's like, no, it's fine. Like, I'll keep going. And just, like, trying to hold me up. And I'm like, I'm gonna get down.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I didn't even like being picked up ever.
Right.
Like, by anybody.
That was humbling.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Yep.
That was thorny. Rosé.
guys, this is so stupid.
We committed, though. Rosé. I mean, I did like, it was actually very cool. Like, when you got these posts that were really hard, like, the sense of accomplishment was there. So, like, I did like the activity, honestly. Just not
that's
a date.
Cool. Yeah. I, like, kind of want to do it in a way where, like, I wish I could do it alone with no one watching, but that's the exact opposite of how you literally need someone to hold up or hold you up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So this is really lame and not a cool title, but, like, the most rom-com moment. But I almost feel like we've covered that with acro yoga being a thing.
Yeah.
Like, the most, like...
Like, cheesiest or
just, like, this feels, like, out of the... Yeah. This category might not be that worth it because, like, reality is not a rom-com.
Well, it might be worth it on a more traditional date. This whole date is a rom-com moment because it's, like, that. But we'll... You know, we'll keep it in the bucket for now.
Later dates.
2019 test. Also, this is not correctly named yet. 2019 test. Did gender stereotypes play out with paying, mansplaining, etc.?
Ooh, that's such a good question, and I've been thinking about that a lot recently.
Did he pay for this?
No. Okay. No, which I was a little bit uncertain about because I thought he did it in a good way. He, like, invited me. He was like, hey, do you want to go to this class? I was like, yeah, sounds good. And then he was like, great. You know, here's the link to buy tickets. Like, I got a ticket for 8:30 at 10, or, you know, 8:30 on Thursday or something. And so it was kind of clear, like, I am buying my own ticket for it, which I felt like was good because I would have felt a little bit weird having this guy buy me, like, it was like a $45 class or something. I was like, ugh, I didn't need him to buying that.
Interesting. Yeah. My first gut is like, no, he has to do a weird thing. He should pay for it. But, like, the more I think about it and how we were like, it could be creepy. Like, in 2019, like,
yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And, like, he had paid for the first date when he got, like, apps and stuff. And then I was like, cool, paying for this. I didn't need him to buy acro yoga for me.
That's a good point. Okay, wrap up.
Okay.
These are the wrap-up category questions.
Ooh,
I know.
Rapid
sorry,
fire.
It's nice. So,
I love it.
So if you had to rate this date, okay, it might not even be on the scale, PG, PG-13, or R rating, what would you
give it? Oh, like R. It was like X. What's about, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, and then this
It was X, but, like, also really brightly lit with 8 other people in the room. Like, it was very strange.
Oh my
God.
It was
the weirdest combination.
This is hilarious. This is our funniest first date, I think, ever.
It was wild.
Okay, so this is hindsight. In hindsight, would you rather have spent the night with friends, alone, or on this date?
Oh, I love that question. On this date, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's cool.
I feel like that's a good
test. I'm glad you love that question. I thought it was interesting. You added alone. I like that. I think I said friends are on this
only
date.
Only because a lot of the time when I was out dating or, like, even sometimes when I'm out in the world being a human doing normal things, I'm like, I wish I were on my couch. You know what I mean?
I think it's, I totally get
that. Yeah. Okay, and the last one.
And then would you accept / give this rose? Very bachelorette, bachelor, sorry.
No. I would have had the extenuating circumstances of, like, him moving away and not been the case. I would have gone on another date with him for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. New York with all these
I would give him a rose. The last three men I've been out with have told me about moving away imminently. It's crazy.
And then even the wild guy.
Even the wild guy.
The wild guy.
My backpack love. Wild backpacker. And in the wild.
I mean, backpacking, it kind of makes sense. But
right.
I mean, not necessarily.
Oh, I like those questions. Those are good.
Okay,
oh
God, that's good.
Okay, we're going to post those in. We're going to post those in the secret Facebook group.
Workshop them.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do. I wonder if we can do like a Google Doc or something and have people add or like comment or something. Maybe that's too complicated.
Yeah, even just comments on the post.
Yeah, we'll post like a PDF of the things and please comment, add things, pitch us like cute names for this questions because we obviously, you know, didn't get there. Yeah. So. Yeah, those are our first inaugural categories. We're going to try to do those with any kind of guest daters we have on, people who are coming on to talk about a date.
And love they it. Think you may already have, you know, because full transparency, recording, you know, at your convenience, but mostly our convenience too. So you've already had other dates, so we may talk about those. But remember when you used to do this, Liza, was ask me what I was thinking next. We used to like pick out my next date.
Oh, yeah.
Which we don't have to do now. Ooh. But do you have any like interesting dates coming down the pipeline or that were recently?
I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I did a rock climbing date I told you about.
Yep.
That's a strong date.
And we can definitely talk more about that.
Yeah. I went on a date recently with a guy who is a therapist, which I thought was so interesting. That was great.
Definitely need to talk about that.
Yeah.
That was like, really cool. Can that be the next time you're on? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like, when you're on the apps, are you looking – this is, like, kind of an interviewee question, but, oh, my God, do we need a Terry Gross category?
Yes.
Do you someone really like, weird, deep, thought-provoking
exactly.
Like,
yes. Like, how did this date relate to your relationship with your mother? when you are on the apps right now, are you looking for, like – are you looking for anything specific? This is my, like, if we were, like, when we were first doing this, we were kind of like, I'll pick out dates for you on the apps. And then we were like, oh, no one can see this and it's not fun.
Yeah.
But can you give us an idea of, like, what is piquing your interest on the apps right now?
Sure. So I think I'm looking for, not even getting into, like, the content of the app, but I think, so I only use Hinge, and so... I think I like, first of all, when it's clear to me that the guy has put, like, effort into creating a profile, and I look for, like, positive responses on a lot of questions. Like, one trend that I see is, like, a lot of guys will have things on their profile that are just really negative, which I think is an odd way to, like, start off a first impression with somebody. Like, some of the prompts are, like, worst fat I ever participated in. And there's so many funny things you could write about that, like frosted tips or like, you know, Tevas. Like, there's funny things to write. And so many guys write like dating apps, Hinge, this. And it's like, why are you shitting on something that we're both participating in as like one of three sentences you get to say to me?
Yeah, that's so wise. I also feel like we live in a little bit of a culture where it's cool to be like, negativity is kind of cool, where it's all about kind of like angst, meh, like, I don't know, I just have a lot of feelings. The political landscape, which, okay, yes, all those things are super true and we all have them, like, no doubt.
Same.
But that's me. Like, right. I am so triggering myself right now because this is me, but it's a good reminder, especially because like, my boyfriend is like generally a pretty big optimist while also being a realist, and he's often has to just be like, you know, you don't have to be like a bummer about this, like it can just be a nice simple, like I'll be like, oh, we gotta go to this fucking thing, I don't know, and I don't even like people, whatever, he's just like, you know, we can just like go and it'll be fun and we'll have a good time and like whatever, and like I feel like it's, I don't know, even on some of the profiles I've seen of like, on when your profiles were on my phone or when I looked for Katie or when I was like swiping for friends.
My
like,
original profile, sorry to jump completely cut you off, but I feel like I like took a negative, like I love being self-deprecating. That did not work.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like positivity attracts positivity.
I think so.
It's fully fucking wise, like women's magazines say this, but I think just in reality, it is true. It's something about the energy and like,
Yeah. Yeah. My friends and I were talking about that recently. Like, it feels like there's one way of approaching dating where you're like, men suck and like everything's awful and I sort of like, why do I go on every date and like no one likes me, blah blah blah, and it's like, no, just kind of fake it, like pretend like you're having a really fun time. It's like you're holding auditions for someone to join your life, and like that's a positive and exciting thing. And I feel like the more you can just like fake that attitude, like you will start to believe it, and yeah, like positive attitude begets positive people in your life. Like I really believe that. And so I think like, if you do it, it works.
Yeah, and I feel like even in writing profiles, like I feel like it's so much more powerful to share stuff you do like and that you do get excited about, rather than like I'm like annoyed at this. Like I feel like there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's just people being like, I don't like posers, I don't like this, I don't like what. I mean, not really, but you know, like there's like this trend of being like, I'm cool because I'm not about that, and it's like, right, no, like it's cooler to be like what you are about and what actually makes you happy. And you know, that's such a fucking wise thing to look out for.
Wow, Well, and it's like, if the goal is to start a conversation too, what conversation is going to occur from like talking about things you dislike?
Totally.
You're going to be like, same, right? Like, I also don't like Donald Trump. Like, it's just it's not a good way to start a conversation. Like, you may as well start a conversation on like a very positive note.
Totally.
As you both relate
to. By talking about Elizabeth Warren.
Exactly. For example.
Here we go.
Good idea.
Welcome to Pod Save Dating.
Exactly. Oh my God. LOL.
Weirdly, the positivity brings me to one last just interesting conversation that came up in our Facebook group that I'd love to touch on real quick before we wrap up.
Let's do it.
Almost in lieu of a worst first. A lovely listener wrote, I'm curious about something. Let's say you're talking to someone on an app and you set a date, and then in the day or two leading up, they stop talking to you. Do you still assume you have a date? I personally assume we're not going out anymore. I honestly lose interest. If we're having a good enough flow of conversation that we decided to meet up, why would you just disappear and pop back up on the day of the date? But I have at least one friend who says that if they set a date, they won't talk to the person until the day of the date on purpose so they don't run out of things to talk about. So, Kimmy, jumping back in here. Ultimately, I think this, like, and I commented on this post. If you're in the secret Facebook group, if you're not, join it. But I think it kind of boils down to, if your conversation is fizzling before you even get on the date, should you even, first of all, assume there's a date, second of all, go on the date, or is it best to just, like, wait it out? And I know I already mentioned that, like, I'm very much of the camp that, like, I don't do well on text. Wait it out. Don't even text too much before you get on the actual date. So I thought this was interesting and love that someone brought it up and thought there were a lot of clashing opinions. And I think we can be really open about just like our thoughts on it. Because I think it's like a true, It's interesting. I think I fully feel like it's just too easy to accidentally stand someone up. If I was texting someone and they didn't, you know, respond to me the 2 days before the date, but we had chatted, I wouldn't be weirded out because that's not how I am on apps. And I don't text a lot post-app pre-date. So I would be like, okay, cool. I'm assuming it's on. And I think I definitely assumed it was on times that, like, then I had to check in the day of and it was like, well, it's raining. And it was like, okay, cool. Getting ditched. And that wasn't even getting stood up. So I do think it's important to check in the day of the actual date. But like, if your conversation is fizzling before you get on the date, is that a red flag? Or is that just, like, what do you do?
I mean, I think, here's my thought. I think there's no downside to checking in the day of. Because the worst thing that happens is they say, you know, I may actually not be interested in going anymore, which really hurts. But like, you know, everything about dating is incredibly vulnerable. And I don't think anyone ever really say that. Like, I think possibly you get ghosted, like they don't reply, but then at least you have your answer. Like, to me, that feels the simplest, is like just check in the day of. Be like, hey, I know we talked about this, but like not sure if it was still on. You know, like, let me know what you're thinking. It's a fairly easy text to send, and obviously you're putting yourself out there, and there is the chance for rejection, but there's always a chance for rejection in dating, and like I think you have to like kind of gird your loins for that. I don't know.
It's tricky, especially if you decided on time and place then. But I also like I completely understand wanting to have that connection in advance. And as a bad texter, I rarely have that connection in advance via text. So I was of the camp of
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Something about about good texters or people who are like really communicative for, via text, they don't necessarily understand bad texters. Mm. I've had this conversation before where people are like, are you mad at me? Like, is something wrong? I'm like, no, I just really don't text a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I text to make plans. Like, I don't really text to have conversations. I don't like it. I'm not someone who texts all day. Like, I'll go several days without my boyfriend and I talk on the phone a lot, but like we by default call each other rather than texting. So like our text thread is not blowing up. Like we, you know, if we're trying to figure out what to have for dinner, like we call each other. Like it's,
yeah.
And like it's all part of like, and I do that with friends too. It's like, whatever. But I've had friends who are very active texters be like, well, you didn't text me back for 3 hours. And I'll be like, 3 hours is a great response time for me. Like that's just, it's just whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that you don't want to make assumptions about the kind of texter he is based on the kind of texter you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think that it's maybe wise to not like make assumptions about what kind of texter somebody is before you've met them in real life first. I think for me, I tend to like Kimmy do not do a lot of like pre-date chit chat. I like to have like one interesting conversation on an app that could literally be like 10 messages back and forth and then be like, great, let's go on a date. And then I almost try to like wrap up that conversation and be pretty clear, like, okay, sounds good, have a good week, see you Thursday. Mm-hmm. And like try to make it like explicit that I don't necessarily want to chit chat until then. I think for me, my concern is A, I don't love texting enough to wanting to be texting a stranger before I meet them. And second of all, my concern would be that like, I think really good text chemistry doesn't always translate to really good in-person chemistry. And so I feel like, I don't know, it almost like gets your hopes up.
Yes.
Artificially, if like you make this really good connection over text and then you meet them live. And I feel like sometimes you can tell within like 2 seconds that like, okay, whatever happened on text is not translating to real life.
Yes, I told the story about like the guy our mom set us up. It's the most insane. I think I've talked about this in the podcast before, but like our moms were seated. They didn't know each other. They were seated at the same table at a wedding and like got to talking and it was like whatever. And they like, my email address got passed to this dude, whatever. And we literally exchanged like 60 emails before we met because he was traveling.
Oh, 60. I didn't realize you had so
much.
But
I didn't know it was that much.
You were engaged.
It was like a lot. And I didn't realize it was that much until I went back. I went back and looked after we talked about it on the podcast because I was like, did I make up that like the banter was so good and the flirting was so good and whatever? And it was, I did not make it up. It was popping over email. And part of it was we couldn't meet for like a month. It was the summer and he was gone. Then I was gone. Then he was gone. Then I was gone. So we were emailing back and forth and it was like there were a lot of trips. So there's a lot of opportunity to talk. Because he was going to a place I had been, and then I was going to a place he had been, and there was like some recommendations, and then there were some jokes, and then it was like, how was this? Oh, it was great. How was that? It was like there was a lot of opportunities for talk when you know, just kind of fortuitously, but like the first time we met, it was very like it was not a vibe.
And I would almost argue that email is like a totally different form than text, and I could almost see like a relationship blossoming more easily because like emails you like have, I don't know, I actually don't know which one would be better, but like even with emails, even with extensive emails where you have a full keyboard or maybe
and like a little bit more time, you know,
you're just investing a little bit more,
right? I think texting too creates like a little bit sense of like false intimacy with somebody. It's like you don't know this person super well, and now they're just like in your hand all the time. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I just like don't need to be reporting. They could like, what my day is like to this person.
Be in your day at
work.
Yeah,
that's right. True. It's like I don't need all of these like men in my phone to be like in my brain all the time. Like I need it to be a little bit more compartmentalized into like what I'm thinking about dating and when I'm not, and I don't need it to be all of my day.
Yeah.
As our last interview question, so we can wrap this up. How do you save people in your phone that you're going on dates with? Because clearly this was an issue that my now boyfriend, I hadn't saved numbers, thought I was going on a date with someone else. Do you save them? Do you not save them? This is such a tiny question that just popped in my mind.
I am neurotic about having first name, last names exactly correctly in my phone for everybody.
Oh, Hinge gives you those, right?
Hinge gives you first name, last name. If I don't have a first name, last name, I'll do like Nicholas Hinge. And that's his last name forevermore. Until we would get married, he would be Nicholas Hinge. So
a good friend of mine was dating I'll change his first name.
Bobby.
John Bobby. Bobby Tindaro for a while. So just added that O.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh my goodness.
And
Thank
then
you.
We all called him Tindaro, which was
kind of became Tindaro.
I actually don't know what his real name is. I think I do. I think I do. Well, but it, no, honestly, I could be so wrong. I'm just making it up.
Yeah. But to answer the listener question, check in and then go on a date.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't be scared to check in.
Don't be, And like, and it's okay to also then just be like, I don't want to go anymore. But I just think that mitigates a lot of the like, a lot of the responses in that comment thread were like, I've been stood up, or I wouldn't. Like, it was just so many opinions. For me, it was like, oh my God, I would totally check in. But I just thought maybe other people were like,
Yeah. And I get why, like, you wouldn't want to be the first one to send the text. But I also think, like, if you can avoid one or the other of you being stood up by sending a 10-word text, like, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you're making yourself vulnerable, probably, yes. But also, like, imagine being stood up. That's a lot more vulnerable and not getting a text back or getting a text back from a stranger who hasn't met you, like, is a lot. It's fairly low stakes. And remember that. They don't know you. They haven't met you. Them texting or not texting you back has no bearing on who you are, your value, your likability. They've literally never met you. Like, who? None of us are ourselves over text. Correct. You know?
Yeah. And you know what? I think that we can wrap this all up by saying... Well, first, follow us at 51firstdatepod on Instagram, especially next week if you, you know, also think Tyler is hot and it's keeping you glued to The Bachelorette, you know, come join us to hear more about the other Bachelor or Bachelorette candidates. I'm realizing we haven't gone over what happened this week, but, like, not a lot happened this week, so there's no clarity yet, so I'm not spoiling anything for you. Okay, we can cut that out, but follow us at 51firstdatepod on Instagram, where we can... maybe do some live fun stories. Sarah and I can for the Bachelorette finale if that's fun for you. If not, just follow us there anyway.
And I will, after you guys do that, when I'm in the cab coming home, I will record. I'll add to the story with my thoughts if I was able to watch on JetBlue. And if I wasn't, I will
perfect
weigh in. Love it. But you should follow us on Instagram to see all this fucking fire content.
Subscribe, review, and you can even just write 5 stars, Tyler hot. Like, we don't care. Or you can write 3 stars, semi good, but just we'd like more than 3 stars. But, you know, if you like us, rate, subscribe, review. It means a lot to us. Thank you so much for doing that already. It always helps. Olivia, thank you again.
Of course.
Thank you. Keep telling us fun dates for her to go on.
Yeah. And weigh in on our categories in the secret Facebook group. And we're going to post acro yoga pictures.
Yeah. Just Google acro yoga. You'll understand the title.
Thank you all so much for listening. We love you so dearly and appreciate all of your support and questions and comments and thought. Like, dating is wild. Okay. Time to say night-night.
We love you. Go on a date.
Go on a date.
Go on a date.